This is Ifeah Wangaza, chair of the Affiliates Task Force for the National Pacifica Foundation Board. If we can, and this is the call meeting for Thursday, August 14th, and we're beginning at 8:15. We'll have 45 minutes to an hour in public session and a second hour in executive session, from which we will make a report out at our next regular call. If we could have our secretary, to whom I'm greatly indebted and appreciate all of your efforts, and especially her attention to detail with drafting the agenda and preparing our minutes. So if you, Teresa, would begin with the roll, please.
All right. Here we go. Chandra Hopman? No. Dr. Ali Rizapur? No. Tico Shakin?
Here.
Got it right, maybe?
pretty much.
Okay. Thank you, Tico. Joe Wanzala? Alan Minsky?
He said he'd be a little late, but he's coming.
Okay. Jan Goodman? Rayla Forrest? No. Sean Rhodes is excused. He's asked to be excused. Serene Roberts? No. Bernardo Palumbo? No at this time. Carolyn Burden?
She's not on the committee.
She's not. She said she might join the task force later on if she gets a chance. Teresa Allen, yes. Sandra Rawline? No. Deb Shafto? No. Ifeah Wangaza?
Here.
Okay, Dina Colbert?
Here.
Ursula Rudenberg?
Yep.
Rip Robbins?
Present.
Thank you, Rip. Laurie Taguma? No. And Norm Stockwell is not thinking of joining us these meetings, is he?
I don't think so. I think that he's willing to be available for consultation. Input on specific questions, but my sense in my discussions with him is that it would be limited to that.
Okay. Is there anyone whose name I did not call? All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. That's done.
Okay. And the second is the approval of the agenda. I believe it's been out for the better part of the day, so.
This is Ursula. I wanted to make sure that the affiliate definition committee, that there was a discussion about affiliate definition.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we're not real prepared, and there was a wish to defer that, but I actually can't defer that because I'm making contracts right now, and it actually. I do need to speak about a little bit with the committee.
Well, you're listed at number 6, or you can put it in as a part of your report.
The coordinator report?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Anyone else? Okay. Well, then if there are no objections, then we'll approve the agenda as it's been presented to us. Our next item is the approval of the minutes for July 10th. And again, they've been out.
I sent them out right after our last meeting, and I sent them out again today. Are you there?
Yep.
Okay. I move that we approve the minutes, July 10th.
Is there any objection to approving the minutes of July 10th as they've been distributed at this point? Hearing no objection, then we'll accept the minutes as they've been submitted by the secretary. Okay, now, my report on the GRC, which was an absolutely amazing event. It was my third GRC, and so it was wonderful to see people that I hadn't seen for a number of years. And it was both instructive and inspiring, the cross-section of the presentations, the lectures, the rallies on one hand, and on the other hand, the technical information and support that was also available. I thought it was a very well-balanced event. Needless to say, it was amazing to also meet the affiliates who participated in the conference and to hear, to be able to report and to hear from the affiliates the questions and concerns and proposals as to addressing the issues with which Pacifica is faced and how that might be done in a way that respects the integrity of both formations, both Pacifica and its sister stations and affiliates and their goals and priorities, and to continue in the effort of expanding and enhancing the Pacifica mission, and that is all of our commitment to community radio and to making meaningful, accurate, and timely information available to people in this country. There, of course, was significant discussion about the, as we put it, the status and future of the affiliates program generally, and there was significant interest in the status and continuing relationship with Free Speech Radio News and its relationship to Pacifica and its availability to affiliates. And of course, there was further discussion about contract renewal and what the terms of our relationship as affiliates would be with Pacifica in the future. We, since our last call, sent a letter to Nicole, an email to Nicole requesting that she participate in the previous call, if not that meeting, then to give us dates and times, future dates and times in which she would meet with us. Her response to that was that given Pacifica's financial efforts, that she didn't have time to arrange a meeting with us. I again raised that with her in a subsequent letter that was addressed to the PMB, in which, again, the focus was on, and the theme was the future, the status and future of the affiliates program and the importance of having communication with the executive director and having a dialogue around the direction that the program would take, and greater clarity and specificity about the terms of the relationship between Pacifica and those of us who choose to affiliate with Pacifica. None of that has received a response, and it's the course has continued very much in the manner that it had, that I reported in our last meeting. I've made it a point to attend the National Finance Committee telephonic meetings since it's functioning as if it were an executive committee, and it's the committee where the greatest information, it seems, is available as to the direction that the minority is pushing the majority in the organization.
Say that again.
I said I have been making it a point to attend all of the telephonic National Finance Committee telephonic meetings calls,
mm-hmm.
Which have been on a near weekly basis.
But this is the same thing that you mentioned last month, that there appeared to be a minority making financial assessments and thwarting the will of the majority. That was what was, that's what you reported to us last month.
Yes, and that is pretty much continuing. Although the last major decision that was made, was the appearance of, and it was required in order to generate banking to do a loan, to put it simply, a line of credit. The board, of course, had to approve that. So it wound up with significantly more information than is ordinarily available, and the board approving, the majority of the board in that instance approving the application and acquisition of a line of credit to address short-term needs, although there are significant reserves in various stations, and troublesome to me and caused me to vote against the line of credit is that there is no plan for paying the money back, or at least there is no articulated plan for paying the money back. Now, it may be that some of the other, that there may be some other proposal that gets announced at the last minute in this process that I call management by confusion, where instead of providing the board with objective facts, we wind up getting what I call Chicken Little lectures about how the sky is falling and how quickly and we can expect it to hit us. So we were successful. The majority was successful in passing a resolution shielding the affiliates program from any deleterious action without PMB approval. So that's kind of given us a space in which to work, and I must say that George Ryder has been a real soldier in ferreting out financial facts and holding the NFC and the ED's feet to the fire for consistency and candor and transparency, which is a full-time job. But he has committed himself to it. He stuck with it and spearheaded the resolution shielding the program from any kind of action.
Was that on August 4th when that was passed?
I believe so. That the from the PM, yeah, it was August 4th. So that the PMB has to review any such action. As far as with regard to the GRC, going back to it momentarily, there was a subcommittee or small task force that agreed to offer contract terms proposals that I unfortunately have not been back in touch with and have not I'm not sure how much progress they have made. So I will follow up on
that. Could you explain that a little bit further, please?
Well, the idea is that the contract, the affiliate contract, is a very general contract, and we want the contract to reflect, to be more consistent with the resolutions that have been passed about what the affiliates program is supposed to be about, from whether we're talking about internal supports, exchanges between the between Pacifica stations and affiliates, cross programming, to outreach and support to communities that are working to establish stations in their locales. Since those kinds, that kind of that characteristics are what we are all committed to, then it when we have it as part of the terms of contract, it gives us a kind of baseline and a way of holding each other accountable that is more difficult when we're just talking in general terms.
Thank you.
The other thing is that, you know, it's not the job of the affiliates to just generate money for Pacifica, but it's also it's a two-way relationship. And so how do we honor and affirm the value of both ends of that spectrum and manifest it in our relationship and in the work that we do. There's been some concern, ongoing concern, seems a long-standing concern, or criticism that the affiliates are a burden to Pacifica, which is obviously on its face untrue. One of the questions that we've raised is why is there no separate and distinct budget for the affiliates program? The affiliates program is self-financing. It's a revenue stream that supports Pacifica and Pacifica efforts. But at the same time, it's important that the interest of affiliates is protected and promoted in the same way that Pacifica protects and promotes its interest. And so by working together, then we leverage the resources on both sides and give Pacifica the money it needs and affiliates the resources and support that and experiences that that we need, and indeed that we all of the stations need, both the sister stations and the affiliate stations. So I don't know if this is a point that folk want to ask questions about other aspects or make add comments. Rip was also at the conference, and as was Ursula. So maybe we'll go to Ursula and then come back to Rip. Or Rip, do you want to add something at this point?
Yeah, why don't you go to Rip first?
Okay.
Well, what I want to tell people on the call is that I really appreciate the work that AFIA is putting into this. I don't know how much work I did, except that I spent a lot of time at the meetings and on the phone calls. So it feels like a lot of work. And gee, asking someone else to come in and do that, I wouldn't have been able to pick a representative that I have such confidence in. So I just want to let everyone know that I've spent, you know, plenty of time with AFIA talking about these matters. She spent much more time talking with so many people who are interested in the affiliate program and in Pacifica, and how can we work together. So I just want to say that she's doing what we would all want to do at the PNB, and that I have confidence that somehow we're going to see some positive results out of this, and I really appreciate her time. I think she's encapsulated the tenor of where we need to go. And the GRC, it was my first GRC, 13 years, and I hadn't
gone.
Wow. Yeah, really. So it was just every single year there was something that happened that for some reason I couldn't go. So anyway, I was really glad to be able to go and see folks that I know from being involved in community radio for a long time. And these are the folks who really, really care. It's not a formal conference. So therefore, everyone going there is really going because they're interested in the concept of community radio. So it was a good, refreshing meeting where everyone had that kind of basis to come from and share their ideas about everything that happened. And, so anyway, I think AFIA really expressed well what our strategy should be and how we position ourselves as, you know, it's not a fight. It's a way to find how we can become the value of the affiliate program can be understood and kind of embraced by the Pacifica entity in every way. There are a lot of folks who do believe in the affiliate program already. We just got to make sure there's enough. That's all I really have to say.
Thank you. Thank you for your compliments. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, well, you deserve it.
Okay, Ursula?
Is this the coordinator's report?
Yeah.
Okay. regarding the GRC, I'm not sure. I think you did refer to this, AFIA, but I'm not sure I heard it as clearly as I saw it at the GRC. During the affiliates meeting, AFIA made an invitation for people to join the task force or the affiliates alliance. Isn't that correct, AFIA?
Yes.
Yeah. And we did get I think about six people signed up and said they wanted to join the task force, and so they will probably eventually be integrated into either the task force or the affiliates alliance. One of them is actually an applicant from Oklahoma, your friend Mary Frances, Teresa. The Unitarian who applied for a radio station.
Oh,
and
okay.
And another one was, and then after the conference, I also spoke with John Murphy from WHUS. He also expressed a willingness to join the task force.
Point of information, do we have a process in place for people to join mid-year, or do we need to find a process, or is that something we should put at the end of the agenda?
You mean like some sort of orientation?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good point.
I'm sorry, will you repeat that?
I asked if we had a process in place for new members, meaning affiliates, not from the LSBs, but affiliates, to join the task force mid-year or at some point, what the process is and how we would like to proceed. Should that be an agenda item or something we could do as a subcommittee and then make a report next time? I just think it needs to be addressed.
Well, would we? Can we put it under one of the working groups that we already have?
We have three working groups. They are affiliate director eligibility slash role, which is Dina Colbert and Efiano Wangaza. There may be other people on the subcommittee, but those are the two that I have for sure. The second is the Affiliate Definition Committee Subcommittee, which is Teresa Allen, Dina Colbert, and Afia Wangaza. And then we have a Fundraising Committee with Teresa Allen. And other people are on the Fundraising Committee, but I have to say I don't have those names in front of me.
This is Dina.
Please, go ahead, Dina.
My suggestion would be, Afia, that it just come under affiliate director because it's a way of training people in so that maybe they could come from the affiliate task force onto the Pacifica National Board, just as LSB members need to serve a year before they could run for the PNB. So maybe it could be like a little subcommittee under that that we could talk about. And I don't think it would be more than a half-hour conversation.
Okay. Well, we can start there, and if we need to change it, then we can. Thank you.
Okay. Really for the last few weeks, mostly what I'm doing is pretty much mostly two things. One is helping Lynn Magno collect the affiliate fees that are outstanding, and simultaneously and parallel to that, I am negotiating next year's contracts with our affiliates, and it seems to be going pretty well. It's the fee payment is pretty much like it is every year. There's a certain percentage that waits for the last few weeks to pay, and those people are kind of all now starting to send their checks in. So I'm not hitting a whole lot of snags with that. I'm not feeling too concerned about the fulfillment of the contracts. There's two stations that are clearly in financial trouble and probably will not get their fee paid in time, but we'll work on it more slowly. But other than that, I'm feeling pretty confident. To be precise, right now the amount of fees that are outstanding from large stations, in other words, full power stations, there's outstanding 20, oh, hold a second, let me do the math. Doug, just let me know about another one. Outstanding from the full power station is $24,839.
Say that one more time.
$24,839.
Okay.
Yeah, it's almost $25,000. And then of the low power stations, 4,670 is outstanding. And of those, two stations, like I said, are experiencing financial difficulty, and so I anticipate, like I said, that they won't make the deadline, and that'll amount to about $7,500. So that $7,500 is going to have to come slower. I think they will pay it. It'll just be over time. And there's one internet station I'm pretty sure will not pay because she just can't make it. So that's where it stands. Also, KZMU had dropped out of the network. I gave them a call, and they dropped back in and will pay their fee for this year. They hadn't paid their fee, and they had decided to cut costs by not paying us and by de-affiliating. But when I spoke with them, it really wasn't such a big thing, and they really didn't want to leave, so they will be paying, and they'll stay with us. They just rearranged their priorities again. So that's the situation right now. There is a Spanish station, a Spanish-speaking station in Santa Rosa that sounds like they will affiliate with us before October 1st. And I have a whole
then
lineup.
Then they are Spanish-speaking news, huh?
Yeah, that's why they're doing it.
Great.
They want the Span. They want Informativa Pacifica. And there's about five internet stations that are waiting to affiliate with us. And there seems to be some question about that. And John Krigler is doing research for us about the liabilities. Nicole had raised some questions about whether the internet stations were a problem. And so I asked John about it, and he said, in fact, she might be right. He wasn't sure that our insurance actually covered internet radio stations. And so he's looking into that, and I'm hoping by the time I get back to New York, he'll have answered me answered that question. And hopefully we can keep our internet affiliates and add the ones that want to join us. I'm hoping that that will work out. The other thing that was done on the contracts is that as part of my investigation, due to Nicole's concern, John and I also realized that our contract assumes that our affiliates are indemnified or are covered by licensing from CPB. And for the stations that don't have CPB membership or don't get money from it, they probably don't have any licensing coverage for internet streaming. And we realized that in our contract we had to state overtly that Pacifica, you know, didn't provide that kind of licensing for its affiliates that you know that were not covered by CPB. So that addition was made to the contract. So that's in there. So hopefully the internet situation will be resolved.
Would you tell me in practical terms what does that mean?
It means that if an internet station does something that causes a liability, our insurance, our contract indemnifies them, or our let me see, how does this work? No, I'm sorry. It means that if we broadcast something that is a liability, our contract indemnifies us or indemnifies them, but our insurance doesn't cover them. So if we end up, I mean, in real terms, if they got like a $10,000 fine or whatever, our insurance wouldn't address that. And so that was John's concern, in because with our full-powered stations, we are covered. Our insurance covers that.
What does that mean for low-power FM?
He also was going to look up that too. That he seemed less concerned about that, but he actually did say because I think the term radio station was the problematic term, and I think he thought the insurance said radio station, and he realized that didn't really cover an internet station. That was his concern. But he did actually say he would double check about low power, but he didn't think that was an issue.
Do you have any idea how soon that information will be available?
Well, you know, pushing John is difficult. I've been pushing him a little bit, and I'm hoping that by the time I get back in a week and a half to New York, that he will have answered me. He does kind of disappear for periods of time, but right before I left New York a week ago, I kind of sent him a letter saying, you know, like, I'm running out of time. Could you let me know about that? So I'm hoping that if I don't have an email by the time I get back, I'll give him a call. And if he's around, he'll, you know, he'll, I'm sure he'll talk to me about it. So
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of these things. I kind of want to resolve it so I can, you know, but right now it's not. I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Okay. I was going to figures, the income figures that you mentioned earlier, the $24,000, that's old money as I understand it.
That's last year. That's right.
Okay.
It's people that haven't paid their fees for this year yet. And, you know, so right now, Lynn Magno, who is the business manager, she and I communicate about 5-6 times a day because, you know, she really wants to start closing the books. And,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, we're kind of doing a tag team thing, you know, where she lets me know as soon as somebody
mm-hmm.
pays.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then whoever's not paying, I call up and you know, we do it that way. So, I mean, my experience is that it's not an unpleasant experience because everybody that I speak with in the network means, you know, does want to pay. And most people are like, oh, geez, you know, I'm sorry, you know, and they pay right away. So it's not an unpleasant situation
right.
so far.
Okay.
I guess I'll just mention a few things real briefly. I want to keep it short. Doug is back, working in the office again. In fact, he's taking care of the office while I'm gone. One of the things he's looking into is a database. We really want to make a database a priority for next year so that a lot more information can be available to more people about the affiliates program. We did complete a summer-long Sprouts training once a week. There was a training held, which was kind of a cooperative effort between various people throughout the Pacifica and affiliate network. And it was a little mini production training process by phone. And it had about 10 sessions and very, very nice. And one of our volunteers is currently writing a retrospective article about Vicky Santa's career as general manager of WM&F because she retired recently. So those are just kind of some of, you know, the things that are happening around, you know, above and beyond. And then the last thing, I think most of you hopefully saw my emails about we had two and now we have three of our applicants have gotten their permits struck. We have we had Bozeman, Montana, Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Let me get this done. So say that again. Three were what?
Three of the applicants from the Radio for People project got their licenses or got their permits to construct. And so one of them is Bozeman, Montana. Another one is Scranton, Pennsylvania. And the third, I just found out today, is Grand Rapids, Michigan. And so all three of those groups have contacted me about affiliating. Grand Rapids plans to be up in a few months, actually. They're almost ready to go on the air.
And that's Bozeman, Montana?
Yeah.
Okay. Bravo.
Yeah, it's a wonderful feeling, you know, to go all the way from having these kind of like people on the phone abstractly wanting to do this all the way to suddenly here they are, you know, license owners. It's really something.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, I guess that's it. I'll stop here.
Two questions.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
On GRC, several years ago, we started conversations with the Latino group of stations as becoming affiliates, and we also did that with the Native Americans and at
mm-hmm.
NFCB. Has there been any follow-up from that?
Well, the Native American, no, there hasn't been. And that's probably something we should start to do. My only hesitation about that is I think we have to clarify. I mean, a lot of those stations are not going to pay, you know, and so we need to clarify where we stand on that because there's been some, you know, some concern expressed by Nicole about how many non-paying stations there are. And so, you know, that somehow, you know, has to be, there has to be clarity on that. before I think we go into that area. With the Radio Bilingue is not really a radio network. It's really Radio Bilingue is really a radio content provider, and we ended up inviting them. They were interested in putting their show on AudioPort, and we set it up for them, but they haven't actually followed through. And I saw Joseph Orozco at the NFCB, and there really wasn't any reason other just than inertia. I mean, he was just like, oh, yeah, we have to get to that. And in return, they were going to put Informativa Pacifica on their satellite, but there was some reluctance on KPFK's part to do that, which never got cleared up. So that has remained kind of a vague situation that hopefully will clear up on both sides with time. The folks at KPFK expressed some, you know, some concern about wanting to have input into our relationship with Radio Bilingue, and I totally respect that, and so things kind of slowed down.
I don't understand. They want some input in terms of our relationship.
Yeah, they feel that it involves them because there's so much crossover between people and programming, and they just felt that they wanted input into that relationship, and, you know.
Okay.
Do they indicate in what way?
They didn't want to enter into the relationship as quickly as we were doing it.
Uh-huh.
Rip Robbins here.
Go ahead, Rip.
I think this would be a great relationship. What I think it calls for is some of the people at the top to sidestep the folks who are actively involved in producing the news, that probably this would be better if Hugo Morales and Nicole Sawaya directly declared that such a relationship would begin, and it would be as simple as that. Unfortunately, these guys go way back 25 years, and so there's a lot of water under the bridge with them, but it's not... Wait, let's see, what weird metaphor can I use? Wait, it's the spilled milk that no one will clean up and it smells now? No, that's a bad one, too. anyway, you can... let me just tell you that it's them. And so as nice as they are, and it's actually Joseph Orozco is the, with the Native American state, Samuel Orozco with Bilingue. And so those,
oh, I'm sorry.
And
you're right.
No, that's right. You just missed. There's two Orozcos.
That's right.
And then
Samuel.
Fernando at K, is they just have all this baggage going back, and it's really just kind of kid stuff. It's not really meaningful as far as what I could tell, because I've had to sit through these table meetings before when Greg was also trying to work a thing out where this would happen. And so it's just that. So at some point it's going to happen. There's nothing holding it up except that they publicly all agree to do it, and then they go home and just don't do it. So that's what that's the Rip Robbins analysis. Okay, that's just me talking, and I don't mind that it's on the public
hey,
calls.
I brought it up because I bring it up once a year, just trying to keep it on the
table. Oh, yeah, right. That's right. Okay. Sure.
Well, you know, I think that, I mean, my sense of it, the reason why I haven't pushed more about it, yeah, is that I understand that in a way we don't have a real, a larger strategy around the whole Spanish language issue. Mm. And I think that in some ways the affiliates program needs to look at the whole issue more.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Right.
And so in some level, you know, it's not there, and so this is kind of just like one little aspect, but I think there is a need to look at much more. You know?
Yeah, and I think that would bring all the parties around on this. I think that if Fernando thinks that Bilingue is a little too watered down, and if Bilingue thinks Informativo is a little edgy, well, that's a perfect compliment. So if they would both allow each of them to just go, and I don't see why Kay would even be concerned. I mean, if they're agreeing to air the entire Informativo unedited, just send it over, then great. I would think that Fernando would want that, and so would everyone in the network. And I think that if Línea Abierta, the talk show, was made available in audio port, that it would be a service to affiliates and any of the sister stations that want to broach the Spanish language idea. Here's the most highly reputed national talk, the only national call-in talk show that deals with contemporary issues in a very meaningful way. It's the most highest listened to program on my station.
Well, you know, when this new station has been speaking to me about affiliating, you know, they've been asking me about what other Spanish programming we offer. And it's kind of difficult right now because I don't really have a real answer for them. We haven't really, we have no real approach to that. And I've spoken with Armando and Ernesto and T and said, you know, like what programs, you know, do you think would be good for national distribution? And they were like, oh, great, you know, they wanted to do something about it, and they were glad that I was working through them. But then, you know, they just are preoccupied with other things. And it was kind of clear to me in a way that part of the problem is that, you know, without some sort of, you know, approach, like a larger kind of policy or plan, where their buy-in is part of it, since they, in a way, you know, are culturally the representatives of this type of programming, that without their participation and buy-in, it was going to be hard to, I mean, it almost kind of didn't make sense to kind of forge ahead. And I do feel on some level, culturally, it's more appropriate to speak with them and to get them to help us come up with a real approach, a real plan that frames all of this. You know, right now it's very piecemeal. And I quite frankly, I mean, I kind of understand what you're saying, Rip, because I kind of saw that too. But on the other level, you know, I feel that there's a certain respect needs to be shown to people who are within their own cultures, and it's not completely for us to just dictate what's going to happen here. So I don't even think it has to be a bad situation. I think it just hasn't happened. You know, nobody's really sat down and said, okay, what's our strategy for you know, Spanish-speaking affiliates? Because there certainly is a market out there, especially since people are getting, you know, the HD channels. And a lot of people are starting to say, we want to dedicate it to Spanish programming. What do you have? You know?
Could you, this is just a suggestion, could you have Doug put out an email to the affiliates and see which affiliates have any particular Spanish-speaking programs or programs, you know, for that community, and the same with our sister stations. I know BAI has several musical, you know, programs that come up, and I'm wondering if we could just find out what's out there, and we might be able to put some, you know, a proposed plan.
Yeah, well, we can try. I mean, what I'm saying, though, is I've done that, and it's really hard to get their attention. Because there's very little awareness of why I'm doing it, but I mean I really have with T and K I've tried quite a bit, and it's just, you know, they're just busy, and it just slips their mind. But I certainly we do know which stations are interested in Spanish programming, which affiliates, and we would be, you know, we certainly could make that kind of a survey.
May I suggest something?
Mm-hmm.
I think that I'm sorry. I need to break.
No, please go ahead.
I think that maybe we should work with the national program director and remind the program directors that they need to constantly offer training on how to take your program and make it syndicated. You know, how to work around, you know, avoiding local references, you know, leaving spaces at the end of the hour to, you know, take out certain things, you know, where you could get local ID and all of this other stuff. I think a lot of the programmers, because they're volunteers, might have high ambitions of being syndicated but don't know how to do it. And that's just something that we need to constantly help them with. It's a technical thing, so, and it's truly beyond me, but I think it's something we need to maybe work with Nathan on.
Yeah. Okay. I hear you. It's just, with the program directors at the Pacifica stations, the affiliates program just flies under the radar still. So maybe Nathan can help me put together a meeting with them or something. I mean, I don't know, partly this kind of goes into the area of the executive director, too. So it's really hard working in this organization, knowing how to do what. It's really confusing. But I hear you. I'll have a talk with Nathan, but I kind of don't want to step over, you know, Nicole's role either in determining how the staff should work with each other. You know, there's a limit to what I should do. I don't know. I mean, my sense about the Spanish program is it's just, and, you know, including Radio Bilingüe, it's something that's on the horizon. And if we could just, you know, kind of start getting some sort of momentum in working together, it's something we should be headed for as quickly as possible. Because I don't like getting calls from stations asking about this and not having an answer. I feel kind of stupid.
Is there something that I can do? Or maybe we should start talking about it and then bring it back to the
board. Yeah, let's think about it and maybe let me give me some time to think about it. You know, maybe we should all just think about it and talk about it again.
I this is Chandra. I just came on the call.
Hey, Chandra.
Hi. And
hi,
I apologize for being late. Hi, everybody. Could you tell me what you're talking about?
Spanish-speaking programming. Dina had asked what was happening with our relationship with Radio Bilingüe, and that kind of, you know, what I ended up saying is that, well, that's kind of drifting a little bit, but really almost more pressing is a general plan regarding
mm-hmm.
Spanish-speaking affiliates in general.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, there's kind of a vagueness there about where we're really headed and kind of a lack of buy-in of the people in our network who are Spanish-speaking, who really in some ways should be helping us guide that vision, who just, you know, right now are not at the point where they see that as something that...
I have another suggestion that might help. I look at Pacifica Announce, and I see about 20 different programmers telling what's going to be in their programs. And I think that if we could encourage more people to subscribe, not to, you know, it's not a chat room, but to see what people do. And I think if more people, I mean, I encouraged, we have a show called Nuestra Palabra, and it's not in Spanish, but I encouraged the person that is one of the co-hosts to subscribe to Pacifica Now so she could just see what Sonali Kahatkar does, what Mind Talk does, what other people do, some of the titles that they have, and like the listing of the news, you know, segments. We might want to just encourage some more people just to see what people offer. And
well,
I mean,
the program directors, they're all on that listserv. I don't know if that's who you're referring to, but they are on the listserv.
But if they could maybe take one or two Spanish-speaking programmers, for example, and say, just take this and just flip through it and see what it is and then delete them, that might give them a thought that maybe they could do something like that, that they could plan their program ahead and affiliates might take their program. Because all of those programs are the people that have vision enough to plan their programs far enough in advance and systematically, consistently, and actually get them on the satellite or make them available for other stations, right?
Yeah. No, I agree. It's a good idea. But really, frankly, some of the programmers have expressed interest in doing it. It's more of a structural thing.
Well,
the program directors don't really want them to go around them. And the program directors don't have time to pay attention to this. It's really, I think it's partly, an issue of making this a priority, making it real to people.
One way to make real is to offer that to a few more programmers. And I know somebody said, well, we don't want them all, we don't want these extra people on there because, they might be asking silly questions or something like that. But if you're going to be more inclusive and you're going to invite minorities, and you want to help them, one way to help them wrap their mind around the idea is to just watch it happening, see other people acting collaboratively and see how that works, and maybe they can get the idea, oh, maybe I could do that.
Sure. But first you have to get the program directors to take that seriously.
Okay, let me
information. Stop it. Are we going to have an executive session? Also?
Yes, we are. That's why I was saying that. I think that we had said that we would be on public session for 45 minutes to an hour. I don't think this doesn't sound like something we're going to be able to resolve momentarily.
Yeah.
So I think we need to find a way to begin to think about it and to come up with some way of dealing with it. And I'm not sure exactly whose bailiwick we put it in, but let's keep it on the agenda.
Okay. I think we should encourage our affiliate coordinator to talk with the executive director about it, find out what their strategy or vision is concerning this, and also start conversations with the national program director about it.
Are you putting that in the form of a motion, or is that something that a kind of next step?
Well, I was not
in the discussion.
I guess I need to ask the coordinator this. Are you having regular discussions with the executive director? Do we need to specifically ask the executive director to have this conversation with you?
No, we're in communication.
Well, would you please tell her that this is a concern of the task force?
Okay.
And see how she responds, and see if she wants us to do anything more about that.
Okay.
There was a point that you wanted to, Ursula, that you'd indicated that you were anxious to make sure that was discussed. Did you want that in public session or executive session?
No, you know what? I think I covered it, and for now I think that's fine. I'm good.
Okay. As far as committee reports are concerned, let me say two other things with regard to the GRC that I slipped my mind. One was the commitment to try to come out with a twice annual summary of what we're doing, just in terms of like an e-newsletter to let folk know what we're doing. And I really wanted to thank Bayer for having taken the lead on making arrangements to make sure that I was able to attend the GRC. She really got right on it and got it done, so I wanted to acknowledge her, that effort, and express my appreciation for
and
that.
And her station is?
K-Mud.
Thank you.
Okay. With regard to the subcommittee reports, which is where we are on the agenda, and I also wanted to thank Chandra for the draft of the letter that we did, the status and future of the affiliates program that went to the PMB, and to note that I received a number of calls from individual PMV members who were impressed with the letter and the content of the letter and expressed their support for the affiliates program and the ideas that were listed there. And there's a question about how we get it out more broadly and what kind of changes we may need to make in order to give it broader appeal and generate broader support. But that was an effort that I think worked well for us. So I want to acknowledge Chandra's effort in that regard.
Well, you're welcome, but I would like to thank you for your enhancement to the letter, which made it just a terrific writing. And I really thought it was great the way what you added to it.
Well, it was a team effort, so it was a pleasure, and I'm pleased myself as to how it came out. We need to figure out how we can make it, you know, use it more.
And I want to remind people, and if I get a chance to, I will specifically remind the whole PNB that we don't just have a rogue chair here. Everything that comes from our chair is, you know, this task force is giving instructions to our chair, and we are firmly behind the letter and the initiative, her attempts to contact the executive director, and so many of our actions that, you know, some people may think, oh, well, AFIA's uppity. Well, that's just not true. We are, I think, a very focused task force, and bravo, Chandra, bravo, everyone who has supported this.
Okay. So can we, although we have... if we have subcommittee reports that folk need want to say something at this point, I would urge that we break away and go into executive session so that we can stay with our two-hour limit.
That would be appreciated.
Can we get John Amella's attention to take us off the stream?
Yeah.